It's nice to see you all. Wonderful faces to have the family here. What a joy. We all know that this year is a year of pressing. And Brother Terry said we're going to press in all areas. Amen. But I see the area that we need to press more is prayer. Yes. Amen. But today, I'm not here to talk about prayer. I'm here to talk about something else. What am I talking about? I want to talk about hindrances to prayer. The things that hinders our prayer. You can come before God, you shout, you pray, you do all you can. But the things that we do, it hinders our prayers. And we don't want anything to hinder our prayer this year. Amen. So I'm going to touch on a few. There are a lot of them, but I'll pick about four or five as time permits. Amen. Hyatt has taken more of my time. And I've forgiven her. It helps also because I'm going to talk about unforgiveness. So I have to have that practical example of myself. You all know what sin is. My simple definition of sin is separation between man and God. It comes from disobedience. It comes from going against God's word. But as Christians, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become new. When you come into Christ, there's a total transformation that has taken place in your heart, and you've turned around to say no to the world and yes to Jesus. But I'm not here to talk about do's and don'ts, because Christianity is not do's and don'ts. With the moment you bring, don't do this, do that, you are restricting the people. We need to have the freedom. If God set us free, he gives us freedom. But for us to be able to walk in that freedom, you must have a total relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I put it this way. The Christian life is not do's and don'ts. It's a transformation of the mind from self-centered, sinful tendency to a total commitment to God through Christ by the power of the Holy Ghost. Your total commitment to God is through the power of the Holy Ghost. Without his help, my dear brother and sisters, we are not going anywhere. It's only by the power of God. For you to be able to set yourself apart for God. If God has not come in to live in your own sinful nature to please God, it's impossible. That's why when Nicodemus came to Christ in a secret way, he said, how would I just be born again? When God was talking to him, or Jesus was talking to him about spiritual things, he was looking into physical things. It's not like that. God wants us to open our eyes and we come close to him. So the first thing I'll touch on, hindrance to our prayer, is sin. Bible says that the hand of the Lord is not short that he cannot reach us. Or God is not deaf that he cannot hear us. But our sins, our iniquities, has kept us away from him. Christ has forgiven us, he has saved us. But he wants us to live in the walk of righteousness. For us to walk with him, not our own. And we must be conscious that we are surrounded by all these things. Because the world fights against us. Our sinful nature will always fight against you. But you have to be conscious that God, you are there for me. The old nature comes up. That's how you're born to be. Because that's Adamic nature is in us. So that old nature always tries to attach itself. But we thank God for Jesus. When you plead that blood on your behalf, it cleanses us. It keeps us pure. It keeps us away. How does a young man keep his way pure without abiding by the word of God? It's by his word that he keeps us pure. So as you walk in righteousness, you have to have the conscience of sin around you. That God, I know by your help, I'll be able to walk in you. Proverbs 15:29. It says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. For the wicked person, God is far away from us, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. So we can't tell us that you can walk in wickedness and expect God to hear your prayer. As we press in more in the year of 2020, let us turn away from wickedness. We have to show love to people. You don't be wicked and cruel to people around you. Even those who work under you, your families and friends around you, you must show love to people around you. So for the Lord, he turns away from wicked people, but the heart of the righteous, or the prayer of the righteous, the Lord hears. Amen. Amen. And Proverbs again, Proverbs 28:9. Say, he who turns away his ear from listening to the law of the Lord, his prayer is an abomination. He who turns away from listening to the laws of the Lord, his prayer is abomination to God. God wants us to listen to his word. We cannot be pressing in more when we turn away from God's word. The word of God will come to us through the altar, through the pulpit, through our teachers, through our leaders. How do we take it? If we turn away, how do you expect God to hear your cry or your prayer? See, for the Lord, he will turn away from us because we are not listening to his word. God prepared his word. 2 Timothy 3:16. See, the word of God is powerful. It says it's by inspiration of God. It's for teaching, for correction. God's word comes to teach us. It corrects us. If it hasn't been God's word, it wouldn't been this far. The word of God will come into, sometimes it becomes difficult. It will crush you. It will come in a difficult way, but you have to humble yourself to take it. You can just be, how long can you resist God's word? Moses tried, it did not succeed. Jacob tried, it did not succeed. How long can we resist it? When God's word comes, we have to sit there and say, God, I receive your word and I'll take it. Let it work in my heart and I walk according to what you are telling me to do. Amen. Amen. And wrong motives. Bible says in James 1, 6 to 8. But it talks about faith. Because we don't have faith or wrong motives, sometimes it can hinder our prayers. When you pray, have faith. And I put here that faith is the way I understand it. It says, faith is non-negotiable requirement for divine proofs in our life. You cannot negotiate for faith. God wants us, if we pray without faith, we cannot receive anything from God. And also sometimes our selfish purposes. So for your own selfish purpose, you cannot get it. You think that's what you need, but according to God, you don't need that. But I think that, God, I need this. And God is saying to my son, no, you don't need that. When I give it to you, you're going to turn away from me. Maybe you are asking for a new job. But God knows very well that when the job is given to you, we will not find you in church. I've seen people who have prayed. I've stood with people that were prayed for job. And the job came, they've been so busy. They have no time. My staff members who witnessed that for years back, I had a brother that he was new in Christ. I was just discipling him. And work used to be worries to him. He came to sell, he was so down. He said, I'm not working, I have to work. But then we used to meet in this crash here. And I remember we lay hands on him, we pray for him. And he had a business plan. I said, why don't you start it? Just push it through. The Lord, God started blessing him. He used to come to sell and testify that God is blessing my business. It's growing. It's so much. I said, thank God. And suddenly, he wasn't coming to sell, not even to church. When I asked him, so, I'm going for a meeting. I'm here. I'm traveling. I said, it's all great, but give God time. After a few months, he wasn't coming. And that has been the end of him coming to God. His business. And I went to God. I said, God, did I make a mistake? When I praise the Lord, who hears, I don't bring the answers. But sometimes we push so much that God hears our cry. We don't even know the level of the person. Because to me, I was feeling just down for him. It was a worry for him. He comes and says, oh, Papi, I need to just work. I have to support God's kingdom. I said, my brother, it will come. Let's pray, let's pray. We kept on praying. And when he came, he became so busy. We, Pastor Port has said that sometimes we even pray that God, don't let this happen. We don't even ask God's mind about it. You think God has not heard us. God knows that in that relationship, if you get in, it will not help you. But we are pressing Him more. I said to people, no, we do like, you know, the only way you can tell a type of a bird is by the feathers. But what some of us, we do, we pick the bird, take all the feathers and bring it to God and ask God, what kind of bird is this? How do you expect Him to tell you? It's like that. We make decisions without asking God. But when we finish, we say, God, help me. It doesn't work like that. We need to take our time and go. So you ask for your own purpose. That's why I don't answer you. You ask without faith. We need to have the faith to go, but ask God, what is your plan about this? God, what are you saying about this situation? I know God is not coming. You have a reason to this. God has a cause to everything, and He knows all for us. Amen. Amen. Keep on pressing. Don't give up, but ask His plan concerning that situation. You ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts would never receive anything from God. When you pray about it, leave to God that God, I trust that you do it. We ask and we doubt it with our own words. Sometimes the words we say will take our own blessings. My wife was counting a lot of money, so much, 20 pounds, lot she was counting. And I went to her to give me some, she kept away. And I said, why are you can't? But when I woke up, it was a dream. Anyway. It was just a dream. The money she was counting, it would have blessed me so much. But it was just, I said, let me anoint. But when you get the money, remember me. We just come to God, and we are asking so much. We need to understand that by faith, God will bring it. And I said, let me bless you. And I know by faith, God will bring it to pass. God put us in life in situation that we need to walk in faith. Don't give up, my dear brother and sister. We need to trust in God, God will do it. He has brought us this far to fail us. You can look into your life and see how far the Lord has brought you. The people the Lord has surrounded you with, sometimes they can be a problem. I must say that. If you are not ready to serve God, don't get into relationship. When God calls us, He put people in our life. And these are the very people that will upset you. When you hear that someone has married for 10 years, 5 years, don't just jump and celebrate. Go to them and ask them, how did you make it? You need to ask them, how far? And they'll talk to you about patience. They'll talk to you about tolerance. It's not easy. You are from different backgrounds. God has put you together. It will take you long to understand. You need to choose to walk in. I'll come to forgiveness. You need to choose to walk in forgiveness. To understand, to be tolerant. You have to tolerate them. My wife will tell you she has tolerated me for many years. And I told her, you have me for life. You better adjust yourself or you suffer. And I must also adjust myself. That's the way it is. You can't go in and walk away. It's difficult. And she will tell you, we've come far and we are still going. I said, that's my understanding. I said to people, you know, we have many institutions. And that is my understanding. Marriage is the only institution you receive your certificate before you graduate. If you go to uni, as soon as you finish your course, they'll give you a certificate that you pass. You can go and practice. After you finish all the course, you tell me if I'm wrong. But when you marry, the day you sign, before you even take your wife, they give you a marriage certificate. They are telling you, you'll never graduate from this institution. So take your certificate first and carry on growing. So you can't go halfway and think you are done. It's impossible. You always have to learn. Shall I tell you my practical life? It may be too much for you. We need to understand. Sometimes the things we do, we hurt our partners. We don't even know. I was doing that. I like to be focused. People think I'm too serious. I don't think I'm that serious as you think. I like to be focused and concentrate. But my life is jolly, happy, free to move. And she used to come around, even when I'm having my studies, she would come and talk to me, which I think those things were not relevant, but to her, they were important. If you go on for shopping and you have a deal, Tesco is doing a special offer, you bought whatever you want to buy, keep it to yourself. But she would just somewhere shout for you, oh, you know what happened? I went to Tesco, they were doing offer, and I bought it. You brought it home. Let me have my studies. It's not the time to tell me. And I used to tell her off. It was just disturbing her. We came for here for life. I remember very well, we were at the back. And Pastor Joe was just preaching. We were soaking ourselves in the things of God. And she said, I go to God. If there's anything that anyone has done against you, release them and forgive them. I was in the presence of God praying about my own personal things. And she just turned around and said to me, I've forgiven you. And I just sat down and examined myself. What have I done against this woman? She said, sometimes you treat me so harsh. It reminds me of how my dad was treating me. Because my dad wasn't a good dad. And it reminds me. So I went to him and I said, I apologize. I need to make an adjustment. And I adjusted. And she can tell you, I've improved, isn't it? Yeah. Things have moved. We all need to do that. To me, it wasn't important. Why? You know that I'm studying. Why don't you leave me alone? But that thing was affecting her. We need to adjust. Simple things and just move on. Amen. Unforgiving spirits. This is a difficult one. We all have our issues. Some of them are painful. The things people will do to you, it's so hard. Bible said that when you come before God to pray, you must forgive those who have wronged you. Mark 11, 25 to 26. So whenever you stand to pray, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Look at here. So if you stand to pray, you forgive someone. It's not saying that let a person forgive you. You must forgive. Look at it well. It means the person who has wronged you, we know that in a worldly standard, whoever has made a mistake must come and apologize. But in God's kingdom, the righteous apologize to the one who has just done the mistake. It's very hard. That's the way we must understand it. You expect the person who has at fault to come and apologize. But I said that when you stand to pray, forgive those who have wronged you. People wrong you. It's all around. Sometimes intentional or not even intended, but it happens. We must go. Let them release you. Go to them, reconcile. In this year of pressing, these are all the things we have to deal with. God is taking us to higher places. But in our heart, if these things are not dealt with, it's going to block our prayers. And we must deal with this, that we forgive people who have wronged us. They are all over, they are around us. You cannot tell me, I don't know, maybe you are so righteous that you're not the person I'm to preach to, but I know I'm at fault. We hold so tight to them. They are so hard. I read something nice about a great man that we all know, Nelson Mandela. He said that when he heard the news that he was being taken out of prison, he said at the prison door, this is what he saw. He said to himself, I'll still be in prison if I don't forgive those who have treated me this way. He said, my freedom will not be completed if I don't choose to forgive these people. I'll still be in prison. So he walked out and walked in forgiveness. Pastor Paul taught us, and I took it so much on my heart, and it's been part of the things I do to help me to walk with God. He said, even before you've wronged me, I've forgiven you. And that is great. He has made up his mind. And when I heard, I said, God, I take it on as my tool to walk in life with. Before even they wrong you, you are forgiving them. What else can you hold on to? It's a hard decision. We need to make it. Your children will wrong you. The difficult one is the very one that you love. When they wrong you, it's very hard. That all the trust I have for you to treat me this way, is very painful. But God said that, forgive. Can we forgive? Can we let go? You imprison yourself if you're not able to forgive people. You keep yourself in prison. We must forgive. Your children will offend you. They'll make it very hard, but you choose to forgive them at all times. Amen. Amen. Are you willing to forgive me? Yes. Are you willing to forgive yourself?
Yes.
I like this one. 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3 was advising relationship or marriage people about respect. And the one I like, verse 7, it talks to husband. The husband must respect our wife. It's very important we show respect to our wife. We need that. Men, are you here? I can talk to you. We must show respect to them. What are their respect? The way we talk to them, the way we treat them. If the woman does not release you, my brothers, I'm telling you, you cannot do the job. You need them to release you. What I do, the way I allow my wife to release me, when was the last time even you knelt down before your wife? When you're proposing, you did it. But after that, you don't want to do it again. I need now before her to pray for me to release me to minister. What happens? You are building the confidence in her. And she knows she's doing with you. And when they do that, they can keep things. They will forgive you. It's very important. We are showing respect to them. We can't say that we are praying every time we are praying. And we are ignoring their needs. It will hinder our prayers. We need to pay attention to them. Thank God for encounter. Before I went to my first encounter many years back, and I shared with them that since going to encounter, the Lord has done so much in my life. I've repented from many things. And I know I'm doing well. I'm not the best, but I'm doing well. Because I said, then I shared with the man that I made my wife cry 3 times. But since then, I repented. She hasn't cried again. Not that she's not emotional, but I'm trying not to make her cry. It's difficult, but you just got to make it. Let's show respect to them. By distracting your wife, you can hinder your prayers. Let's cherish them. Let's honor them. You just abuse them and come to church and you sit next to each other. I'm not addressing anyone. I'm speaking as the Lord has. Not that I've heard anything. This has been prepared for many, many months ago. When I heard I'm going to share it, I said, I prayed about it. Because you can have many sermons. You need to go to God. Which one God wants you to release? Not to any particular situation, but as God gives you, you have to give to the people. Then we come to the same church. We don't even reconcile. For how many months? We live in the same house. The same room. You are no more husband and wife. You are room partners. Thank you, roommates. You choose to walk out whenever you want to without saying bye to the person. And I end you with this story to the married people. There was a man who had a problem with his wife. They were not talking to each other. All that they were doing, they were just communicating by making notes. So if the man wants to tell the wife something, he will make a note and leave on the table for the wife to read. And the wife was also doing that to the man. So this has gone on for weeks. And this man was praying for his job, the job he was looking up to. Thank God he had an appointment to go for an interview. But because he wasn't talking to the wife, anytime the wife approaches him, he gets angry and attacks the wife. So the wife was so scared to approach the man. What the woman did, it was time for the man to wake up. But because she would not go and talk to the man, what she did, she told the man to wake up. The way she did, she wrote a note and put on the side of the man, "Time is up to wake up. Your interview time is up." The man who is sleeping, how can he read this note? The man just woken up from his bed and saw the note by the bedside and was late for 1 hour. The time has gone. If he was talking to the wife, I believe the job would have been given to him. When he called, he was told that he was the right candidate, but because he did not turn up for the interview, they could not trust him that he'd be able to take the position. What a man's anger has caused him. We need each other in life. Wives are standing on behalf of the men to tell you, we need you. Without you, we cannot function, we cannot progress, and vice versa. So we need to be there for each other. Shall we be on our feet? Let's close our eyes. I want to ask this morning, there are many things we can touch on, just few I have touched on. Maybe as I was speaking, the Lord might have highlighted something in your own heart. I may not have touched it, but you know. Or maybe the things that are touched. One thing about God I love so much. Someone will speak and God will elaborate more to you. He will speak to you more. He will expand it. He will amplify it to such a way that you understand it more. Which way is God speaking to you this morning? Let's examine ourselves before Him. And the Lord will show His favor in our life. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go before Him and ask Him for that favor. Thank you, God.